So Om Ganati Vidandasha Gananjana Shlokaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigarve Namaha. So today is a very special day on the calendar. So before going on to Bhagavatam class, we want to mention two things. It's Vasant Panchami. Panchami, of course, means the fifth day of the moon. And it's generally considered to be the end of winter, not here. I wish it was the end of winter. But it's considered to be the end of winter in India. And also it's Saraswati Puja, and they actually give the deities some special programs, change the dresses of the deities, you know, this like springtime dresses, and they start using the peacock fan, because we don't do that here because it's quite colder. So it's a very important day, you know, big festivals all over India, particularly Saraswati Puja, for those who are not Vaishnavas. So another thing that we are commemorating today is the appearance day of Vishnu Priya, the eternal consort of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're going to speak a little bit. I'm not going to read this whole thing because it's quite a bit here about the marriage between Lord Chaitanya and Vishnu Priya. So, of course, we understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was first married to Lakshmi Priya. And she passed away while he was visiting East Bengal, which is today known as Bangladesh. It's described that she was bitten by the snake of separation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And she passed away due to the separation. Of course, some people say that the snake of separation manifested itself externally and bit her. But in any case, she left this world, and then Lord Chaitanya was without a wife, and so Vishnu Priya was the second wife. So it's described that the Supreme Lord Vishnu has three different, Shaktis, Sribhu and Neel. And Vishnu Priya is the internal potency known as Bhu Shakti, or sometimes that's an abbreviation for Bhumi. Of course, Bhumi is an expansion of the goddess of fortune. She's an expansion of the wives of Krishna and Vrindavan, which you're going to hear about in a second. So her father's name, Vishnupriya's father's name, was Sanatan Mishra, who was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's described that in the previous yuga, he was a king named Satrajit. So that may ring a bell in your hands, in your mind. So, of course, Satrajit was the father of Satyabhama. And Satyabhama, of course, there's a whole story in the Lalita Madhava about how Satyabhama became the daughter of Satrajit, but I'm not going to tell that story right now. And so, in other words, she was either an expansion or the appearance of Satyabhama to be married to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Vishnupriya used to, as all the great devotees did, she would bathe in the Ganges three times daily. And she was very devoted to her parents, and she read the scriptures, worshipped the Tulsi Devi plant, and was a perfect Vaishnavi. So every day when she would go to the Ganges, she would not only bow down to the Ganges, but she would bow down to Mother Sachi's feet. And generally, the benediction the ladies would give at that point, which Mother Sachi gave, was that, may Krishna bestow upon you a very good husband. It's actually interesting, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was young, and he was bathing in the Ganges and was teasing the girls, and basically, he sometimes teased them by saying, you know, Krishna's going to get you married to an old man with four co-wives, you know, three co-wives. You have four wives. He'll have four wives. And unless you actually worship me. So that was interesting. So then, getting on with the story, that Sanatana Mishra was situated in a very high position in the Brahminical culture, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's family was not in such a high position because they were poor, and especially because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, Jagannath Mishra, had passed away. So once upon a time, a matchmaker came, Panamali Pandit, and Sachimata wanted to get her son married again. And Sachimata said to this matchmaker, Ramamali, please arrange a marriage between my son and Vishnupriya. And it's a fact that Sanatan Mishra was actually, Sanatan Mishra, the father of Vishnupriya, was considering this particular match for a long time because he concluded that the best possible husband would be Nimai Pandit. That's obvious. And so, anyway, so the matchmaker approached, and to make a long story short, there was a marriage. And most of this writing here is actually about the marriage, so we're not going to read about the marriage. It's quite an opulent, complicated marriage ceremony. But suffice it to say that Vishnupriya was actually, this is also mentioned in the Chaitanya Mangal, that Vishnupriya was aware that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to leave her before he left her. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left her in the middle of the night and swam across the Ganges and took sannyas from Keshava Bharati. And Vishnupriya remained for the rest of her pastimes, not seeing her beloved husband. And it's described that she got married when she was like 16 years old. And it wasn't that long after the marriage that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So let's relate this to Krishna leaving Vrindavan when he and the gopis were approximately 16 years old. And also Lord Ramchandra sending Sita Devi away because she was older than 16 after the whole episode. She got married to Lord Ram when she was 16, but after the whole episode with Ravana and everything like that, she was older. I think she was about 18 or something, 18, 19, something like that. So you could actually compare all these different pastimes. And some people, they remark that the Lord is extremely cruel to have, you know, all these different pastimes, and is separated from his wife, separated from his girlfriends in Vrindavan. I mean, it's just like, what? What kind of God is this? Well, one has to understand these things from the spiritual perspective, from the perspective of Vipralamba Seva, that when you have a relationship between the Lord and his consorts, when the consorts and the Lord are thinking of each other, which is 24 hours a day, it's not like the ordinary relationships in this world. You know, one may think of their husband or wife for a few minutes a day when they're not there. But they were thinking 24 hours a day, both the Lord and his consorts. And this thought or mood of intense separation, which is actually more intense than meeting, is direct connection. So we can't really understand it from the material perspective, because the material perspective, we feel separation from someone, then really there's no connection. If we're just materialists, you know, someone could say, well, I was thinking about you all day yesterday. And the other person said, no, I wasn't thinking about you. I was in the movies. So in this way, you know, there's not really any connection. But in the spiritual platform, I mean, just like an example, when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, then every day he would come back to eat from Sachimata's cooking. You know, there's this pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that sometimes he would even eat everything in the offering, and Sachimata would be thinking, did I offer or did I not offer? And then she made another offering. Because she thought, well, I'm getting a little absent-minded because I don't know if I'm offering or not offering. But anyway, Lord Chaitanya would come in an unmanifested way. And then also you have the other pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, like when Raghunath Das Goswami was conducting the Chip Rice Festival, Lord Nityananda's Chip Rice Festival. Then Lord Nityananda, actually by his intense meditation, called for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Nityananda was feeding Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And very few devotees actually saw that, but Lord Chaitanya was there. So, and also you have the fact that when we chant Krishna's names, Krishna is there. And we remember Krishna, Krishna is there. And we read the Bhagavatam, Krishna is there in every page and every word. So this is the non-different nature of the Supreme Personality Godhead and all the aspects related to the Supreme Personality Godhead. Name, qualities, form, you know, everything related to the Lord, remembrance. So we have to understand the Vishnupriya and the gopis and Sita were never actually separated from their beloved. They were always with them in a very real sense. So this is Vipralamba Seva, and it's described that, and it, of course it's very intense, as described in the Lita Madhava by Srila Rupa Goswami, the gopis. Actually, in the Lita Madhava, you have actually many of the gopis like leaving their bodies and committing suicide because they're feeling so much separation from Krishna. Like Radharani, and Lita Madhava enters into the Jamuna, and she's taken up by the sun god, and later on she begins is given to Satyajit as Satyabhama. So, you know, it's a very intense emotion. And it's love. I mean, these are real love stories. For example, Vishnupriya was so much absorbed in thought of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, she had a deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But she would only eat as many grains of rice as, I mean, there's two descriptions. One is, one people say how many rounds she chanted, but I think it's how many beads, how many Hare Krishna mantras. Yeah, I mean, another 64 grains of rice, you know. Not much. So I think it was every Hare Krishna mantra. Although many people give the description of rounds. But anyway. So she, but she, it was so intense, and she was so chaste that any man or anybody who came to see her could only speak to her from, she was behind a curtain. That's a description given in the Bhakti Ratnakara. I believe the Bhakti Ratnakara or the Narottam Vyas. One of the two of them. Or Nityananda. But anyway, it was at, there was a disciple of Janabhimata named Nityananda who wrote about many of these pastimes and also Narahari Sarika. So she would only speak to a man behind like a curtain. And no man actually saw it. Except for when there's one case, that Srinivasacharya, when Srinivasacharya was wanting to get her blessing, she actually put her feet on Srinivasacharya's head. And gave him the blessings to, you know, distribute books and preach Krishna consciousness everywhere. So that's actually one exception. But, I mean, in those days, the ladies actually, even actually all the chaste ladies, they would not go out unless they were in a palanquin, like Prabhupada described his mother. In a palanquin carried by four men on the sides of the palanquin. And even when Sita Devi was coming back to see Lord Ramchandra, they were carrying her on a palanquin. This is after she had been rescued. Actually, it was Maya Sita at that point. And then Lord Ram said, come out of the palanquin. Because, you know, everybody wanted to see for whom Lord Ram was fighting so enthusiastically. But generally, that was the case. So there was, anyway, so in that way, the ladies were protected. Of course, we can't institute that system nowadays. You know, nowadays we're in a different country, a different mood, different yuga. You know, we're not attempting to do that. So Vishnupriya was exhibiting or experiencing topmost mood of separation. And anyway, this way she meditated on her beloved Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai, actually. She meditated on Nimai and passed her time and eventually went back to the spiritual world and joined Nimai. So that's Vishnu Priya. So, any questions before we go on to Srimad Bhagavatam?
Oh. I think it's Raghunath Das Goswami's appearance day today.
Is it Raghunath Das Goswami?
At least according to the DVD,
no. Not here.
No, not here. Not here. That's Los Angeles.
Yeah, Raghunath Das today.
Is that BBT calendar?
Hillsborough.
Hillsborough. Does it say in our calendar? Does it say on our calendar?
Under Rick Benjanini.
Oh. So there's all that stuff on the bottom of the calendar that I missed. Okay, so then we have to speak about these other persons. Alright. Alright. So, yeah, I should have looked at the bottom of the calendar. Okay, so it's Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakura's disappearance?
His disappearance.
And Pundarika Vijayadevi's appearance. Those are the only ones for the January 21st.
Okay. When is Raghunath Das Goswami?
He's, it says Saraswati Puja.
It's today too.
It's today in Raghunath Das Thakura.
Goswami Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakura. Okay. All right, so what a nice surprise. It's actually nice. So, of course, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, his pen name was Hari Balava, and he was known as the Rasacharya, and he composed many books detailing the pastimes, intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And then, you know, there's a famous, like, four stories where he talks about, you know, the Krishna being put in a box of jewels and being brought to Srimati Radharani by Srimati Radharani's so-called husband Abhimanyu, and then Krishna jumping out of the box, and then Krishna appearing as a snake charmer. I mean, there's many stories that he told about these things. He's known, too, as the Siksha Guru of Baladev Vidyabhushana. Baladev Vidyabhushana was not initiated by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, but it was Baladev Vidyabhushana who was instructed by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur when Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur was too old to go to Jaipur to defend the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya and establish that Radharani and Krishna should be worshipped on the same altar. So that's Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. And his commentaries were used by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, in his compilation and commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami? I never heard that. Anyway, we have more information about Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. He appeared in West Bengal, in the Nadia district of West Bengal. Of course, that's where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And he resided in the Bhajan Kutir of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Of course, he appeared a long time after Vishwanath Chakrabarti, after Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And he's written many books and commentaries in the Bhagavatam, which Prabhupada used, Bhagavad Gita, commentaries on the Ujjala Nilamani, the book by Rupa Goswami, commentaries on the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, that's Kavi Kandapur's book, commentaries on many of Rupa Goswami's literatures, like the Vidagdha Madhava, Lita Madhava. He was famous, actually, for a book that I gave a seminar on called the Madhurya Kadambini, which details the different levels of spiritual advancement and how the anarthas are disappearing at each level of spiritual advancement. And let's see what I, so his Diksha Guru Sampradaya is listed here. That it was Lord Chaitanya, Lokanath Goswami, Narottamadas Thakur, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, Krishna Charan Chakravarti, Radharaman Chakravarti, and then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. His Siksha Guru Parampara is considered actually more important, and that's from Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, along with Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Narottama Das Thakur, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He disappeared on the Vasan Panchama day, which is today, in the month of Magh. That's today. Okay. And so, let's see. Who else? We have Raghunath Das Goswami. Okay. So let's see how much I remember about Raghunath Das Goswami. So, of course, Raghunath Das Goswami, I think I remember most of it. Raghunath Das Goswami appeared in the Majumdar family, Govardhan and Haranya, that was his father and uncle. And they were a very rich family, extremely rich. And being very, very rich, they didn't want Raghunath Das Goswami to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. I mean, they were devotees. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later described his father and uncle like worms in stool. Because, why worms in stool? Because the worms in stool, when they're taken out of the stool, they want to jump back into the stool. And so they were taken out of the stool, Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle, because they knew about Krishna consciousness. Actually, they served Haridas Thakur, and they were great devotees. We're not denying that. The great devotees, I mean, probably infinitely better than I will ever be. But still, because they had the knowledge and they kept jumping back and being attached and not letting their son join the Hare Krishna movement, that's why they were considered worms and stool. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he at one point was trying to escape and then escaped from home to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then basically he wasn't able to because his father had so many guards. And then what happened is that he visited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, you should behave like a lady who has a paramour. That means behave perfectly, but keep Krishna in your heart at the same time. Behave perfectly externally, materially. And then his parents let down their guard. And also he was able to facilitate an arrangement whereby his father was able to not be imprisoned. What happened is that his father was actually taking too much when he was a tax collector. He was taking too much, which is a tradition in India, to take too much. Anyway, bribery. And one of the Muslims detected that, and they called for his father to be arrested, but his father escaped before that, father and uncle escaped before that, and they arrested Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami arranged for a deal to be made between this Muslim. He arranged to slip him some money so he wouldn't be so unhappy. And therefore, he acted like a perfect businessman. Later on, he was able to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda by participating in sponsoring the Chipfai Rice Festival in Panihati. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forcibly dragged him and put his feet, Lord Nityananda's feet on Raghunath Das Goswami's head. And then after that, he went back home, and by the mercy of his guru, Yadananda Acharya, who had lost to Pujari, he was able to escape and go to Jagannath Puri. When he went to Jagannath Puri for a few days, he took the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After that, he considered that to be too opulent, and then he started begging at the Singha Dwara gate for food. And after that, he even renounced that because he considered that to be like the activities of a prostitute, where you just see, you know, this person will give, this person will give. And then he started to take food from the kitchen. It was for beggars. And then after that, he renounced that. He became so renounced that he only ate rice that was just rejected, even by the cows from Talinga. They would throw out the rice, and the rice was actually rotted, so even the cows would not eat it. And so he would take that rice, wash it a little bit, put some salt on it, and then eat it. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to him when he was eating this, and he grabbed some of the rice, and he says, "Why are you keeping all this nice prasadam for yourself? So you should share it." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forcibly ate like one or two mouthfuls of it. And then Surup Damodar Goswami forbade Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, said, "This is not fit for you." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Why is he keeping all this nice prasadam for himself?" But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with Raghunath Das Goswami's renunciation. And later on, he sent him to Vrindavan to join the other Goswamis in Vrindavan. And he sent him with, the Govardhan Shila too. Yeah, he sent him with the Govardhan Shila. There's many stories of Lord Chaitanya with Govardhan Shilas. So anyway, so he sent him to Vrindavan to assist the other Goswamis, and Raghunath Das Goswami is known or renowned as the Prayojana Acharya. Prayojana is the third stage of presentation of Krishna consciousness. The first stage is Sambandha, which means understanding the relationship between the Lord, the Lord's devotees, the material energy, the Lord Shaktis, all these different relationships, philosophically, intellectually, and then Sambandha Videya means the process of devotional service, how to achieve spiritual perfection, and finally Prayojana, the goal of spiritual life, entering into Krishna's pastime. So Raghunath Das Goswami is known as the Acharya of Prayojana. That means the topmost goal of Krishna consciousness. So that's Raghunath Das Goswami. And so, anybody have any else to add about Raghunath Das Goswami? No? No other remembrances of Raghunath Das Goswami? And who else is it? Pundarik Vijayanidhi, Raghunandana? Raghunandana. Pundarik Vijayanidhi. He's the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and he's considered to be the incarnation of Vrishabhanu. Vrishabhanu, of course, is Srimati Radharani's father. And Pundarik Vijayanidhi, he lived a, let's say, a very opulent life. Now, generally, Vaishnavas actually exhibit extreme renunciation. But for various purposes, they may actually exhibit opulence. I mean, sometimes for preaching. Like one time, Prabhupada was picked up in a Rolls Royce, and the newspapers, actually, I think it was in London, yeah, they said, "Swamiji comes rollsing in." And Prabhupada sometimes was asked, you know, why are you using such a good car, you know? You're supposed to be renowned, supposed to be spiritual. And Prabhupada actually sort of answered them in a very interesting way. He said a gold car would not be good enough for the spiritual master, because the spiritual master is representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sometimes you do see devotees for specific purposes utilizing extreme opulence. So that was the case with Pundarik Vijayanidhi. So the story goes as follows, that when Mukunda, who was associated with Pundarik Vijayanidhi, wanted to bring Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, or Gadadhar Pandit at that point, he wasn't Goswami at that point, to see Pundarik Vijayanidhi, He explained, this is a great devotee. Mukunda explained, this is a great devotee. You should come to see him. So Gadadhara, when he saw Pundarik Vijayaniti sitting on an opulent bedstead and chewing pan, and his, I guess his lips were red from the pan, and he looked like a really, and his hair was slicked back with oil. You wouldn't think that that would be such a great devotee. You know, naturally you want to see a devotee. It's simple, like Robert said, simple living, high thinking. So Gadadhara had his doubts. And so Mukunda, the great singer, understood that Gadadhara Pandit Goswami had his doubts. And what did Mukunda do? He began to sing a verse about the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Pundarik Vijayaniti exhibited extreme symptoms of Yavachari Bhava. That means the ecstatic symptoms that are intermittent and uncontrollable. And he just practically tore apart his bedstead. And he was rolling on ground. All of his clothes were disheveled. His hair, everything was disheveled. And Gadadhara Pandit Goswami understood that he had made a big offense. I mean, sometimes devotees make offenses by not understanding a particular individual's spiritual position. So he made a great offense, and he understood the only way to rectify that offense was to beg Pundarik Vijayaniti to give him initiation. So when Pundarik Vijayaniti came out of that trance, he was asked by Gadadhara Pandit Goswami, please, can you become my guru? And Pundarik Vijayaniti said something very interesting. He says, only after many, many lifetimes does one get a disciple like Gadadhara. And so then on an auspicious day, he initiated Gadadhara Pandit Goswami. And Gadadhara Pandit Goswami, of course, is considered to be the appearance or expansion of Srimati Radharani in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And so Pundarik Vijayaniti is the father of Srimati Radharani. So it's very appropriate. So then we also have, that's Pundarik Vijayaniti, then Raghunandana Thakur, right? Raghunandana Thakur is the son of Mukunda, who we just mentioned. And Raghunandana is a very interesting pastime, a great pure devotee of the Lord. So what happened is when he was a little boy, his father was a physician, Mukunda was a physician, had to go and do some medical things. And he said to his son, please make sure the deity worship goes on and make sure Krishna is given some nice bhoga and he eats. So his son, Raghunandana, didn't really understand all the principles of the Archana Padati, you know, all the different mantras and everything like that. So he just basically put the bhoga in front of the deity and he said, eat. And he expected the deity to get off the altar and eat. And so that didn't happen at first. And so then he started crying. Some stories say, some of the stories say that he actually took a stick, but anyway. But most of the stories I've read say that he started crying. And, you know, a little kid crying is not exactly the most pleasant experience. So Krishna got down from the altar and he began to eat. And he ate everything on his plate. So then later on, his father comes back. Mukunda comes back. And he asks Raghunandana, did you feed the deity? And Raghunandana said, yes, but he gave me some trouble. He refused to eat until I threatened him, until I cried. So his father said, what? I never heard of such deity worship like this before. And Raghunandana said, yes, it's a fact. And his father said, right, let's see you do it. And so what happened at that point, his father watched from the window or from the side as Raghunandana made an offering of some laddus to the deity. And he said, eat, eat. And the deity came down. Krishna came down. And he ate, but not everything on his plate because he had already just eaten. His stomach was full. And so when his father saw that, his father offered obeisances to his son. Then later on, very interesting story, later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking with Raghunandana and his father Mukunda. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Mukunda, hey, who is the father amongst the two of you? Is Raghunandana the father, or are you the father? And what happened is that Mukunda said Raghunandana is the father. Because he was, Mukunda, the father, considered his son to be more advanced than him in devotional service because he was able to get the deity to come down from the altar and eat. So anyone else do we have to celebrate today? Do we cover everybody? If I had known, I would have prepared more. Yeah, if I would have known, I actually would have prepared more. Did we meet it? Did we miss anybody else? No, we got everybody. Okay, I mean, I would have had more information had I looked more carefully at the calendar, so please excuse me for not doing that. So any questions or comments? Or problems or arguments? So today, we're not going to have our breakfast at the White House or the Gray House or the Blue House today. It's because today we have our continuation of the ISKCON Disciple Course, which will start. Actually, at 12:30 is the RT, so it started about 12:45 this afternoon. So, no questions? Okay. Yes, that's it. All glories to his divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us.